League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey y'all, what's up? It's your girl Jess Hilarious, and I'm here to tell y'all I got my own podcast called Carefully Reckless on the Black Effect Network. I'm going to be telling y'all all my business and definitely telling you other people's business too. It'll be respectful and messy at the same time. So make sure you tune in because y'all know me. Listen to Carefully Reckless on January 20th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
Let it rain!
You remember the class where I taught y'all how to make it rain?
Make it rain.
Dollar, dollar bills, y'all.
All right, here we go. Hour number two here on the grid, sportsgrid.com. Joe Ranieri, Dane Martinez. I'm going to go ahead and guess that Alex Vizzano is probably nowhere in the building at this point.
That's what it is,
okay,
Joe.
That's what it is. All right.
But I got to tell you, one of the things he would say for updates, right? He'd go through the injuries of week 16, and there were a bunch of them, Joe. You know, we got to talk also. We got to talk about the Dwayne Haskins injury, right? And the idea of him being out there or not. We talked to Virginia about guys like leaving Danny Dimes out there with nothing to play for. Dwayne Haskins, James Conner, DJ Moore, Kyler Murray, we talk about Mark Ingram. But perhaps the worst situation was in Seattle, Joe. Was in Seattle where they lose. Pete Carroll has now said Chris Carson, with the hip injury he sustained, is out for the season. Backup running back CJ Prosize sustained an arm injury, out for the season, Joe. And you and I have been saying that we like the way Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles are making plays when the time is right, and maybe they get a little bit healthier. Aguilar, Howard, whatever the case may be, Joe, for months I've been having that joke, like, I'll take wild card one against the NFC East division champion in wild card weekend on the road. I don't know about that anymore, Joe. Mm. If it's Philly at 9-7, it could be Seattle, who will have to play San Francisco with no running back, literally a guy they called up from the practice squad. And imagine if we have a repeat of week 12, when Seattle went into Philadelphia and won that game 17-9. I don't know, Joe, just like how Seattle, when they were 7-9, beat New Orleans at home with the Marshawn Lynch Beastquake run. I don't know, Joe. I think things are looking up for Philadelphia, and it's bad for Seattle because of those injuries.
Listen, Carson and Prosize, what are you going to do? I mean, running backs, unfortunately, it's a shame it happened in the same game there, where you've got to, you know, bring in a, you know, University of Miami guy that was a six-round draft pick to be your running back. But they'll find a guy to be the running back. The biggest injury for them was losing Dwayne Brown, the anchor of that offensive line, because the minute he went down, the minute Chandler Jones started feasting on Russell Wilson, they had no answer. They could not run the ball as it was. They were having a hard time. And the minute that you lose the guy that is the bread and butter of that offensive line for Russell Wilson, and now there's no guarantee. They hope he'll be back at some point for the playoffs, but there's no guarantee he's going to be back. So losing a member of that offensive line, as valuable as Brown is, that was huge. They'll find a running back. The NFL will find a running back. The question is, who the hell is going to block for him, or Russell Wilson at that particular point, because everything collapsed the minute he went down for them. Everything. Like, it just, all of a sudden now, they had no answers on that side, on the left side of the offensive line, and they couldn't run the ball. And, oh, yeah, then the running back breaks his arm. Okay, great. Then the other guy dislocates his Bo Jackson hip. Okay, great. Now what the hell are you going to do? So three monster injuries for the Seahawks yesterday. And you talked about it with Washington. Explain to me now, is Washington ever going to play a season without a starting quarterback, getting some sort of ridiculous leg injury here, blows out, shatters his ankle? So who the hell knows what's going to be the future with him, except for an awful lot of rehab is what it looks like. Case Keenum did a really good job coming in for him. But, I mean, to lose your rookie quarterback like that, Alex Smith, now you're going to lose Haskins for an extended period of time. It just, man, when a black cloud is over you sometimes, a black cloud is over you. It's like, I feel terrible for Haskins. I feel bad for, you know, his teammates. I hope, but nothing that I've seen from that video a million times tells me that's going to be any good news, Dane, coming out here
that's
today.
And that's the thing. We were talking about it. We talked about it this weekend, brutal. Joe, really in relation to Danny Dimes, who they put back out there. And I said, listen, if he gets some kind of re-aggravation, it's fine. As long as there's not some kind of long-term injury which impacts the off-season program and training camp. And that's exactly what may happen with Dwayne Haskins. And it's even worse, Joe. It's going to be a new head coach, a new scheme for him to have to learn. And he's going to be doing it from the sidelines, reading just playbooks, doing it virtually. That is a big problem. And also, Joe, not for nothing, and I don't mean to be disparaging, but he's going to come back 265 pounds, Joe. Like, he's not, I mean, he's going to come back. Me and Blewett were joking when we were watching the game. He's going to come back like Jamarcus Russell. You know what I mean? He's going to be ballooned up. It's I'm not trying to be disparaging against the kid, but like, it's like the perfect storm. Everything came up snake eyes for him.
And he was doing, you know, he was holding his own in the game. Everything was going along. And then, you know, just this franchise, knowing Alex Smith up in the booth is watching that, you know, a guy that almost lost his leg, playing for this Redskins team. And then to have your, you know, his replacement or the future have a similar type of injury where if his ankle is blown out like that, it's like, oh, God, this is just, you know, when you got it going against you, you got it going against you. And he was actually going toe-to-toe. I was looking forward to watching how that game was going to end. Now, Case came in and did a really good job in a battle. But, you know, nothing that Haskins wasn't actually doing in that game. They were always just, you know, Giants will score, Redskins score. Giants score, Redskins score. So it sucks. It really, really does. And it's
silver lining. Here's your silver lining. With the Redskins' loss, right? So inherently the Giants win and the Miami win and Urban Meyer in the box, you know, checking everybody out. Well, guess what falls into the Washington football team's lap potentially? Another Ohio State Buckeye with the number 2 overall pick. The Washington football team selects Chase Young, edge rusher out of Ohio State. It's Buckeyes. Buckeyes Atlantic Coast. It could be. And Urban Meyer could be the guy pulling the strings.
It was, it just sucks there. It really does because so that's the biggest fear.
That's the one thing they need to avoid. It's like the Tua situation.
Teams are going to have that big worry, especially those that have nothing to play for next week because, or if you're already in, you know, again, if I see Lamar Jackson on the field and Harbaugh is a trippy dude.
Ridiculous. That would be ridiculous.
Just saying. He's ridiculous. A trippy dude, guys. We said the same thing in preseason. Like, what the hell are you doing? Why is he playing with the third teamers? Like, what are you doing?
That would be
just
crazy.
Just saying. Keep an eye.
They put him in ball right now.
Bubble wrap.
Ingram, Andrews, all of them.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life?
NFL season is now upon us, and you can become the eighth person to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament by setting their lineups using the DailyRoto.com DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy sports and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Sign up now for the NFL access with a faster optimizer, smarter DFS projections, and better results. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. DailyRoto.com, where millionaires are made.
It's no secret that our current healthcare system is broken. We're often taught to avoid the doctor unless we're already sick. This is where Forward comes in. Forward doctors deliver personalized insights to put you on the path to better health. And they're based right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Forward doctors actually spend time listening and getting to know you. Using real-time blood results and genetic analysis, they build a preventative plan with you to mitigate any health risk. And the best part? Forward doctors make it easy by guiding you through small changes to your lifestyle today to achieve long-term results. With the latest technology and tools, Forward's high-caliber team of doctors deliver cutting-edge preventative care. Whether it's finding the root cause of a new problem, managing a condition, or building a plan to achieve your wellness goals, at Forward, your healthiest self is just around the corner. Better yet, Forward doctors help you find exactly what your genes say about your health. It's time to listen to what your body is telling you. Go to GoForward.com today to get the insights you need to put you on the path to better health. That's GoForward.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I, shout out there to the gentleman who walked into a New Jersey sports book and put a $405,000 down on a money line play for the Dallas Cowboys yesterday. Ouch. Yeah. Ouch. Sorry about that. But hey, could have been worse. No, actually, it couldn't have got worse. Well, it could have been. Could have been $500,000.
That could have had more than $4,500 on it.
Yeah, it could have had more than $405K on it. Awful. But listen. Cowboys are still in it, Philadelphia, and it's all about controlling your own destiny, which is why watching the Steelers lose yesterday had to be extremely painful to Steeler Nation, because now they lose control of their own destiny and they have to hope for a little bit of help. Still, they got to take down a Ravens team that, I mean, let's be honest, we know what should happen, but I have no idea what we are going to see from them because that's just the way Harbaugh rolls. The Steelers have to win that game. And, you know, Tennessee has lost back-to-back weeks now in a situation where they truly, and they remain having their own destiny in their hands because they have to win against Houston, who Bill O'Brien has already said, we have no intention of resting anybody. We don't want to lose ground here. We want to continue to move forward. So Houston's already locked up the South. They are good to go. The number three seed, of course, is definitely a possibility. And we mentioned, I would much rather be playing the Raiders or the Steelers or the Titans than having to go and take on the Buffalo Bills, who I think are definitely the scarier of the bunch there in the wild card spot. But Titans, you still win. and you're in. But talk about a nemesis. They're going to have to figure out a way. I thought it was very, how bad is Derrick Henry that he couldn't go in what was a huge game at home yesterday for them? I'm worried about what Derrick Henry is now. Were they looking ahead? Did they realize that win or lose, they still, I don't know what they were doing, but announcing him a couple hours before out.
Now he's got to be banged up.
It's got to be bad, man. It's got to be like, bad.
Because right now, if the Pittsburgh Steelers had beaten the Jets, which they were favored to do, you know, it's not like they could have been like, oh, we'll just try and sneak past this week and still have playoff hopes. No, Henry's hurt. I mean, and this is a guy who, remember, they were relying on him in the last 4 or 5 weeks. Dude was putting up like 150 plus in touchdowns. Yeah. They were leaning on him. So I don't think, you know, this might have been a lose the battle to win the war. But if he was out, if he was available, they would have run him out there. And he was needed. Okay, yeah. Absolutely. Yep. What I think is interesting, Joe, is they play Houston, right? They played like what? A week ago. They played week 15. And I remember telling you then, I'd be very interested to see if they put some specific things on tape where they could do break the exact tendency the second time around. I'm going to be looking for, you know, not necessarily the quote-unquote trick play, but breaking of tendencies that were established a mere 2 weeks ago. They got 16 weeks of game film, and they got 1 week to, you know, break the tendency and get into the playoffs. I'm going to be very interested to see what this Tennessee offense looks like.
Yeah, they are not they're in. So, I mean, keep that in mind here, guys. Houston is in. There's really, if it comes push to shove, they're not going to, they're not going to risk everything here.
No,
now, it's not going to happen. But Tennessee is, again, a little shorthanded there. And what worries me is you are back-to-back weeks where you had winnable games or games that you should, you know, you needed to win. You knew you needed to win. And yet you went out there and you weren't able to get them done, a la Ryan Tannehill, which is, you know, as good as he has been, he has definitely been on these short ends of the stick here where when it comes down to push and shove, just can't seem to get over that hump. But fortunate for him in Tennessee, they got one more shot at this. Yep. But again, man, I am not discounting, you know, when you look at what needs to happen for the Raiders here, guys, and understand this. They needed to beat the Chargers. They needed the Ravens to beat the Browns, the Jets to beat the Steelers, the Saints to beat the Titans, and the Colts to beat the Panthers. That's a five-team parlay. All happened. Now they need a four-teamer this week, which includes them beating Denver. They need the Ravens to beat the Steelers, the Texans to beat the Titans, and the Colts at the Jags. And all of this is very possible. Maybe the hardest game on there is their game. Against the Broncos, because the Steelers, even without Lamar, how in the hell are you going to score points?
Bob Griffin will beat them. Yeah. And I mean, listen, we saw the quarterback play yesterday for these Steelers, right?
Right.
And we were talking about it. Duck Hodges, the shine is off the rose, people. He does not necessarily look like an NFL quarterback. And Mason Rudolph is no better than he gets banged up. You know, I mean, they're going to go into Baltimore, and that's why the divisional rivalry of it is such an important thing. You don't think these Ravens are going to want to make sure that Pittsburgh is home for the holidays? Absolutely. And to be quite honest, I'll take Baltimore in that game. What I'm seeing of this Pittsburgh offense, James Conner re-aggravated, had a new leg injury now, so we don't know about him. I have very little faith in what I see in Pittsburgh. I have far more faith in what I would see in Tennessee.
I mean, the truth is they are going to – the defense is going to have to once again deliver a performance. Now, the good thing is they don't have to prep for, in all likelihood, they don't have to prep for Lamar, which is a different animal altogether. Sure. But that defense has carried them this year. They're going to need to carry them one more week. I mean, they held the Jets to 16 points. It's not like the Jets ran all over them. They kept that game within distance, and the ability to be able to score at the end would have been nice.
How are they going to score against Baltimore's defense?
The defense, you know, the same way that we've watched other teams like Pittsburgh, the same way they've won games all year. The defense puts them in short fields, puts them in a position to be able to take advantage of turnovers and stops, and they're going to have to do it again. That's their only shot. at this particular point. Don't expect a 400-yard day or something along those lines. Like, the only shot they have, and again, not knowing what Harbaugh is going to do, you know, how truly, you know, how invested is he going to be in this game on any level? Defense guy, I mean, Marcus Peters was banged up a little bit in that game yesterday.
Yeah.
So is he rolling out Jimmy Smith? What are we going to get defensively too?
That's what I was saying before. When we talk about starters, you know, people automatically think of the quarterback. There are 22 starters, people, you know?
Yes.
It's not like you're running out a second string offensive line, though, for the entire game. You know what I mean?
Right.
So there will be some starting Ravens out there. But, I'm with you. I think a mishmash of first and second teamers can beat this Pittsburgh. You know, you're right. The Steelers' defense is fine. But I do not know how the Steelers' offense will move the ball and score, even against, you know, kind of the revolving door of whoever they run out there defensively. And also, there is a pride factor. This is, I mean, Steelers-Ravens maybe is not what it was when it was like, you know, Terrell Suggs and Ben Roethlisberger talking at each other. But this is a rivalry, Joe. And that plays into what you're saying, how Harbaugh will play it. It's not like Harbaugh is going to be like, yeah, come on in, Pittsburgh. Punch your ticket to the playoffs through us. Right. That ain't happening, Joe.
Yep. They also have that whole divisional matchup situation there. Yes, there's still going to be an awful lot of pride. And then you got to figure out how deflated are they, you know, how disheveled and deflated are they going to be here having to go into that game? There's a lot of questions surrounding them that you have to look and go, I don't know. I mean, what is New England going to do? New England does have the Chiefs on their ass. So New England cannot afford on any level.
And they hop them because they're head-to-head matchup victory.
Miami is one of those teams where it's not like they haven't thrown a monkey in a wrench against New England in years past. So that's a team obviously not quitting, not doing anything. And, Fitzmagic, does he have a little bit left? So I expect New England to go out there full board. I would not expect any sort of let up from them. Kansas City is, they can hope to get the number two, but at worst, they're going to be number three. But again, they've got to go ahead, take care of business. They're going to play their starters. There's no reason why they wouldn't, as far as I'm concerned, which leaves Buffalo. What has Buffalo got to play for exactly?
Nothing.
Nothing.
They're locked inside.
They're locked in regardless. So what does that mean for the Jets?
We should throw Josh Allen's name into this conversation.
Yes. Yeah. And now,
Josh Allen is very important.
Yeah. A little bit.
Why?
NFL season is now upon us, and you can become the eighth person to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament by setting their lineups using the DailyRoto.com DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy sports and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Sign up now for the NFL access with a faster optimizer, smarter DFS projections, and better results. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. DailyRoto.com, where millionaires are made.
My good people, my name is Questlove, host of the Rabbit Hole Pop Culture Nerd Paradise, otherwise known as Questlove Supreme. We here at QLS take pride in bringing out the best of our many guests, and this particular episode is no different. We are honored to bring you a special two-part episode with the one and only, drum roll please, Mariah Carey. Yes, Mariah Carey. She gets very candid about her three-decade-plus illustrious career.
And nobody knew who I was, and they introduced me, ladies and gentlemen, Columbia recording artist, Mariah Carey. They're like,
wow.
But then at the end of it, the announcer, he's like, the palace now has a queen.
She tells it like it is and shares with her fans what it's like to be Mimi.
Diana Ross, and she's by herself, doing her hair, doing her makeup, walking barefoot in and out of the room. And she's like, in the most glamorous way possible. And she's like, Mariah, one day you're not going to have all these people around you. You're not going to have all these people around you. And now I'm like, I believe that someday is here.
Listen to Questlove Supreme on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Suprema!
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Welcome back in here to the grid, sportsgrid.com. Make sure you find us on YouTube, guys, the Sports Grid Network, all the fantasy and sports wagering advice you need all the time on YouTube at the Sports Grid Network, also on Instagram at Sports Grid TV. And tonight, Monday Night Football, might be a good time for you to be able to get in the game, and you can do so by opening up a DraftKings Sportsbook account. Why? Because, well, listeners and watchers of this show right now, you can get a deposit bonus of up to $500. Now, here's how it works. You simply create a DraftKings Sportsbook account. You make a deposit, and then boom, just like that, you place your first bet, and DraftKings, they'll match it with a 50% bonus of up to $500. Now, the offer is eligible for all users, not to mention that new users, you guys get a risk-free bet of up to $200. You just got to go to sportsgrid.com/DK to play. That is sportsgrid.com/DK. And if you have a gambling problem, you can call 1-800-GAMBLER, 21 and over. And that's right, 21 and over. New Jersey only. Eligibility restrictions apply. Check out the website for details. And that Monday Night Football, in fact, tonight, much still on the line for both of these teams.
Yeah.
As Green Bay currently sits as the number three seed. Minnesota clinched yesterday over the weekend, by the Rams losing to the 49ers on Saturday night. So the Vikings currently occupy the number six seed, but jockeying for position, certainly still up for grabs between those two teams. And we've got a Mike Zimmer-led Vikings team, opens up, finds themselves right around that 5.5 mark, five and a half. Their record on not only Zimmer's record at primetime, but primetime at home, it's ridiculous. They usually don't lose, or at least don't cover in these spots, and they have not over the history since he's been with the Vikings. Now, no Dalvin Cook, right? No Alexander Mattinson, I believe, is pretty much done. So we got this thing called a boon. And the Packers, they've got a couple injuries on the defensive line there outside of a defensive lineman that might be questionable. Other than that, they're okay. But the problem and the question is really going to be, even without Dalvin Cook, and even if Madison, if he goes, maybe he doesn't or whatever, Mike Boone, the biggest problem for the Packers all year has been that defense against the run. So you are going into a place where they have done a great job, that offensive line and that offense, of being able to establish the run. And if you overload the box, you know, if you really sell out, I don't care who's running the ball, to try and stop the run, well, then that's, you know, some people would say that receiving core is the strength of that team, especially at home. Right. And we've seen Kirk Cousins Thielen at back. Home, guys. A Thielen back is a, you know, he's a different animal at home. This whole team is just totally
Absolutely.
Different at home. So
Absolutely.
It's not as easy as, you know, hey, let's just, you know, they got a better record, Green Bay, and let's pick them. It's a tough-ass matchup here tonight. But at home, just to give you an idea, guys, under Mike Zimmer since 2014, they're 31-14-1 against the number. That's just epic proportions, guys. It's almost ridiculous. It's laughable. So you have to also, as a favorite too, let's keep that in mind, because they weren't always a favorite in there. As a favorite at home in this spot, 25-10-1. So this is a battle. So they are going to need to bring their A game, and I don't care who's running the ball. They are going to have to not only stop the run, but they are going to have to be able to do something a lot of teams haven't been able to do. And that is, since they're underdogs here, they got to win this game outright here, Dane. And they need to win this game outright, quite honestly, Green Bay. There's a lot more at stake here than just this matchup here. We could be talking about the NFC North moving forward as well. Like, ooh, where will Green Bay be when it is all said and done?
Listen, for Green Bay, there's the division. But don't forget, you know, with San Fran and New Orleans as well, let's say Green Bay wins, this would be another 12-win team. The bye is important as well. You think with a team like Green Bay, can you imagine? Tell me the difference. Here, let's play a little game, Joe. What do you think would be the swing in a point spread if Green Bay was playing New Orleans in the divisional round, right, as the 2-3 game, let's say?
Right?
That's very possible. What do you think would be the difference in the point spread if that game was in the dome in New Orleans versus the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field in mid-January? Can you imagine the difference? That is
huge.
Okay, so Green Bay has it all out there in front of them. I must disclose that I am also holding a +300 ticket for the Green Bay Packers to win the NFC North. So you know who I'm on, because they were the third choice beginning of the season. Remember, you and I were fading the Bears early in the season. I was on this course, so I need them to come in. So I may be biased, let's say that. But I think you profile it correctly, right? The big question is, will Mike Boone be plug and play for these Minnesota Vikings? You know what I mean, Joe? Like, that run game has been great. That is the way you attack this Green Bay defense via the run. But I just don't know. And Boone was good in the preseason. He was one of those revelations in the preseason. The question is, can he do it when the lights are on? You reeled off a lot of trends and stats, Joe, but you didn't talk about Kirk Cousins, like, in primetime games. You remember? Mm-hmm. And that's a stat also. And I don't know if Kirk Cousins, when the lights are on and the pressure will be on, because they could win the NFC North almost this week, I wonder if Kirk Cousins will deliver. And if they're not able to run the ball, they're going to get forced into throwing the ball and being a volume thrower. And I don't know if that profiles well for Kirk Cousins in a matchup against this Green Bay secondary with Jair Alexander and the crew.
It's the running game is going to be so important to Minnesota, because it sets up that play action is brutal. You just can't defend it.
Diggs over the top. Absolutely.
With healthy wide receivers now, if they have any success. And in game one, what we learned was the Vikings ran the ball 27 times for 198 yards, guys. And they got torched in the secondary a bunch of times. Why? Because simply they had to do more to be able to stop the run, and they couldn't do it. They averaged almost 8 yards a carry in that game against this defense here of Green Bay. So something's going to give. Now, can they have that same kind of success? But I think it's what, even the threat of having some success on the ground is what is going to open up a healthy Thielen. And now, you know, you got Rudolph, and now you got, of course, Diggs on the outside. You got that triple-headed weapon. Dalvin Cook would have made this a more, I think we probably would have pushed it up maybe an extra a point or so. But to me, this is...
Joe. That was week two when Dalvin Cook was setting the world on fire. Remember, he was the MVP of the league in September. Dalvin Cook went 20 for 154 in that last game against Green Bay. And by the way, though, Joe, Green Bay won that game still, 21-16, despite Dalvin Cook running for 150. Yep. You know, so Mike Boone ain't Dalvin Cook. All right. So that's the question.
No, he's not.
Can they get it done? They couldn't even beat Green Bay in Green Bay with Dalvin Cook running for 150. So I don't know. I may lean Green Bay here. I know Minnesota at home is so much different. That defense is so much different.
Different,
but I trust Aaron Rodgers in prime time if this is a close game more than I trust Kirk Cousins, Joe.
I know that, and the reason that those guys are so good at home under Zimmer is because he's a very no-nonsense kind of guy. He doesn't leave any stone unturned. He's a guy that'll have his players ready. He's always had them ready at home. So the one thing we can always count on from Minnesota is they don't often shoot themselves in the foot. They don't make the stupid mistakes a la you would see some other teams make penalty-wise. They're very disciplined. They're good. Well, he's a good coach. I mean, that's the whole thing with Minnesota. Yeah. And he's also, I guarantee, he also understands the limitations of, you know, Kirk Cousins and not asking him, I think, to do too much unless they absolutely have to. But I do think the difference is going to be on the defense. They have to, that defense of Minnesota, they have to be able to do, and this is what drives me crazy about Aaron Rodgers all year. They no doubt, and I'll even look at the numbers here, I have no doubt that, you know what, Green Bay might have the lead going into halftime. They might actually have some success there. And what I also have a sneaky suspicion about, which I've seen time after time, is they disappear in the second half because adjustments are made on one side of the field. And I still have not seen the second half adjustments for the Green Bay damn Packers to be able to counter anything, which is why the offenses disappear in the second half. You're like, what the hell is going on? Like, Green, what are you doing? You are up by 13. Now, all of a sudden, you what? You're down by three? That to me remains to be seen. That's the question mark. Cause I know Zimmer and I know that coaching staff, whatever they do very well in the first half. Yeah. That will be taken away in the second half. And then the question is, how can they adjust? Cause they haven't done a great job of adjusting thus far this year. And I think that's where the rookie coach thing comes in, and not saying he's a terrible coach, but when you're going up against a guy like Zimmer, you got to give Zimmer the check mark in that column.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. You know what? But I do find it funny on some level because we say some of the same things about the New England Patriots and Tom Brady. Joe, you know, like Aaron Rodgers, we're looking for the things that are wrong, right? You're saying they can't make the adjustments. I hear in the mainstream media this idea that Aaron Rodgers is not elite anymore, that sort of thing, right? Yet, here they both stand with 11 wins on the season. You know, there's about 25 teams that would love to be, you know, as bad as the Packers and the Patriots are, you know, but you are right. We shall see.
And neither team, by the way, has faced the gauntlet the 49ers have faced. So let's take it into perspective here.
Absolutely.
When you're out coaching and out playing mediocre to less mediocre teams, you're going to have 10, 11 wins. So
sure. But there's still plenty of teams that would love to be that 11-3 or whatever it is. It's going to be very interesting. I wonder if they could run the ball or if Kirk Cousins has to throw. I don't know that I trust them if they got to put it on Kirk Cousins' arm tonight, Joe. I really don't.
That's the big question. Yep. Could it be a field goal game?
NFL season is now upon us, and you can become the eighth person to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament by setting their lineups using the DailyRotor.com DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy sports and not using DailyRotor.com, you're doing it wrong. Sign up now for the NFL access with a faster optimizer, smarter DFS projections, and better results. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. DailyRotor.com, where millionaires are made.
Hey, y'all, what up? It's Jess Hilarious, and I'm here to tell y'all that I'm launching my podcast, Carefully Reckless, on the Black Effect Network. I'm going to be telling y'all all my business and telling y'all other people's business, too. It ain't no limits to the things I talk about. Y'all know that if y'all know me. From baby mama drama to healthy relationships, from child support to stimulus checks. Look, when you take a step back and you realize that we all go through crazy stuff and we got stories to tell, those situations do not define you. But they do make for a real good conversation. In a world where clickbait and cancel culture can tell your story before you do, I'm creating an outlet to remind people that we still human, crazy, and we can all laugh about it. Don't stress over it. Bring your problems to me. I promise I won't judge you, but I might crack a joke or two. Don't be scared. It'll be respectful and messy at the same time. Just make sure you tune in. Listen to Carefully Reckless on January 20th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, boy, we got some wild swings here in early look-ahead lines for the NFL Week 17 now that we've kind of laid it out for you. I will say this, too, though. We've got We've got a majority of the bets coming towards Green Bay here, both in terms of money and ticket counts. However, I'm watching the numbers continue to go towards Minnesota. So somebody or, you know, there's a few people with a lot of money, apparently, that are pushing Minnesota while the betting public again continues to push towards Green Bay. And yet it's the numbers aren't they're not necessarily moving in the favor of Green Bay. It has ticked up a little bit as far as the total of 47 at this point. So it'll be interesting to see what happens a little bit closer to it's in that no man's land of 4.5, 5 anyway. It's kind of, you know, whoever you think is going to win, bet them to win. All right. Because that that point spread is usually death. But let's take a look at some of the early line releases here for some of these games and what has happened in just a matter of, you know, 8 hours since 12 o'clock, since midnight. You had Houston at home open up as a 1-point favorite against Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee. That is now switched to Tennessee laying 5 across the board. So that is a 6-point swing now between Houston and there. Opens up at -1. You're also seeing a big swing when it comes to Indiana and Jacksonville. Indiana opened up as a 1-point favorite. That now I'm seeing -4 across the board. And Dallas taking on Washington. Dallas opened up as a 2-touchdown favorite. That has been bet down to 10, 10.5 here. And I'm even seeing a few 11. So that continues to move down. Carolina, how about that? Drew Brees in Carolina. We don't even know who the quarterback's going to be for Carolina at this particular point. I'll assume Will Greer will continue. But that's looking more and more. Opened up at 10.5, 11 for Brees and company. It's now up to 14, Dane. And Buffalo and the Jets. Right. Buffalo opened up as a 5.5-point favorite. It's now almost a pick 'em. It is, in fact, a pick 'em in some places, and -1 in others. So Miami getting 17 points in New England, getting that 16.5, 17 there. And depending on the outcome tonight, though, but Green Bay also listed as a 10-point favorite against David Blah and Detroit. And I'm trying to see the other. And Seattle, in fact, was a pick 'em with Garoppolo and company. Now it looks like San Francisco on the road is at least a 3-point favorite. So some wild swings here, depending, of course, on motivation and things along those lines. But the market is clearly telling you, for instance, in Houston and Tennessee there, with everything to go for Tennessee, gave Houston a slight edge at home, but it doesn't look like the markets are buying that Bill O'Brien and company are going to go all out here against Tennessee, because that's a 6-point swing, Dane. That's pretty crazy now that Tennessee is going to be a 4.5, 5-point favorite.
Yeah, and that's what it's about, right? They're trying to get the books are trying to get ahead of the game in terms of motivation. When you see those teams like Buffalo or teams that don't have something to play for versus teams who do, the Tennessee-Houston example is a perfect one. You know, a lot of people think that Houston is pretty much locked into the 4. Okay. Meanwhile, Tennessee will have everything to play for, right? Yep. So maybe you don't see. And look, Will Fuller got re-aggravated an injury on Saturday.
Yep.
All right.
That's correct.
So what happens if you don't want the same thing to befall Deshaun Watson, who, by the way, it looked like he got nicked up for a little while in the third quarter. He was messing with his heel. Right.
Yep.
On Saturday. So why risk it with him or D-Hop, you know, anything like that? So there are a number of cases where you're getting ahead of motivation. You're also going to start hearing, I guess, tomorrow or Wednesday, Joe, there's going to be a rash of guys shutting it down for the season, you know, where you hear that, oh, they're not playing, teams that are not really contending, maybe a T.Y. Hilton, for example. Right. Or other teams that maybe don't have as much. We talked about, why is Josh Allen out there potentially for Buffalo if they're locked in right against the Jets? Maybe that's part of the line movement. This is the books trying to get ahead of guys that are going to get shut down or may get rested for their playoff run.
Yeah. Some of these numbers are hilarious, including Denver and Oakland, who Denver opened up as a 4.5-point home favorite. And, so far, a number of the bets and money coming in on backing Oakland and Gruden, right? It's pushed it back to a 4. And it's interesting the way it sets up the 1 o'clock games versus the 4 o'clock games. Right. Because Houston, Tennessee is a 4. Indy, Jacksonville is 4. Washington, yep. Dallas is at 4.
They're doing the NFC at 1. All the AFC teams play at 4 at the same time. So it'll all be decided.
And it'll all be figured out.
The NFC best game. Yeah.
And then Garoppolo and Russell will. Yeah, they'll be deciding there. That game was flexed into the Sunday night game. And the biggest bet game so far on the board is the Pittsburgh-Baltimore game, which is seeing, and this is hilarious, but I'm still seeing Baltimore as a 3-point favorite over Pittsburgh. And there's a good chance.
Yep.
Nobody's playing for Baltimore. Absolutely nobody. And yet the market is going, yeah, I don't buy it, man. I don't buy it. Baltimore divisional game. Yeah, I'm not buying it at all. And correct me if I'm wrong. Is that game not at 4 o'clock or am I got it listed wrong?
It's a 1 o'clock game.
Okay. So it's been moved. So it's a 1 o'clock game. Okay,
right. Because
so
that's the 1 o'clock. Pittsburgh, they're doing all the AFC scenarios.
Right.
At
so yeah, exactly.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. So they need to know, I believe. So we'll see. They may still switch some around, but I think that's what they do. Remember how we say, like, soccer? They synchronize it so you can't, like, know what you need to do. They're going to be playing at the same time. So maybe there's still some movement.
I thought they were going to just launch them all at, like, 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock. What did they do that with? Was it – maybe that was baseball. Baseball did it all where they launched everyone on the last – was it last couple of days? Everyone started at, like, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, that was it. Nobody – didn't want anybody mailing it in, so to speak. So
and they do that in soccer a bunch as well.
Yep. Very good. And I got to tell you, the Giants are getting 5 points against Philly.
Huh. They'll score points. They'll score points.
Right?
They will score points. What's the over? What's the total in that game?
46. It's been bet up.
I'll take the over in that game.
Kind of feels like we're going to get more of that, Danny Dimes 3 or 4 touchdown game.
Yeah. Can attack this Philly pass secondary. Saquon just looks more and more healthy, right? Early play for me is the over, because also in FanDuel, Joe, it's 45.5. When you're seeing these dramatic line movements, even more time to shop around, right? Because some of the ones you were saying over on FanDuel, there was a point and a half gap. Okay, so books are making dramatic moves based on handicapping motivation, stuff like that. They may not all be on the same page, so shop around this week. I like the over early in Philly, New York.
Well, it's the dramatic moves are from where they started to where they are, but they've moved based upon the amount of money that has come in, and the amount of money coming in is clearly telling them what side it's going to be on. I mean, when you get Bill O'Brien trying to convince us his best way that they are ready to rock and roll, try and take over the number 3 seed, but the truth is, nobody's buying it with a 6-point swing. And even Minnesota, I mean, Minnesota, we don't even know what they're going to do tonight, right? But yet they still are laying 7 against Chicago next week at home. So, and correct me if I'm wrong, if Minnesota wins tonight, they do have an opportunity to catch Green Bay, right, next week, who is playing Detroit on the road, and Minnesota would be home against Chicago.
Absolutely. If Minnesota wins tonight, if Minnesota wins tonight, then they're in a flat-footed tie, okay? If Minnesota wins tonight, then Minnesota and Green Bay enter week 17 both at 11-4.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And that could be for all the marbles, guys.
Yeah, Minnesota at 11-4 can get as high as up to – Minnesota can get still, if everything breaks right for them, they can get as high as number 2.
Number 2, right. Yep.
They could get a bye, okay, because Minnesota could be 11-4, one game back of San Francisco and New Orleans, okay? And then, it's not like San Francisco can't lose to Seattle week 17, okay? And Minnesota, I believe there's a path. I got to look at it. Minnesota, there is a path for them to still be the number 2 seed.
Number 2, right? Yes.
It's involved with the tiebreakers, like if New Orleans and San Fran lose, maybe if there's a 3-way tie with the 3 of them at 12 wins, they sneak in. We have to go down the path of like the 4th and 5th tiebreakers. But I do know there is a path if Minnesota wins out.
A home game for them would be – that's a game changer. You can get a playoff home game for them.
It would be a bye, Joe. Because in this NFC, remember, whoever the 2 NFC wildcard teams are, Okay? There will be two of San Francisco, Seattle, Minnesota, or Green Bay. Whoever they are, Joe, you don't want to see them.
Yeah,
you
know,
like, you don't want to see them. Whoever they are, you want to win the division and you want that bye.
So true. It's so true. And I can tell you this, too. Who you got here, Dan? You ready? Atlanta on the road to Tampa.
Tampa?
And it's right now, it looks like it opened up as somewhere around a 2.5 for Tampa Bay at home. It's pretty much a pick 'em now, but that total is 50.
1.5 on FanDuel, 50.5 on FanDuel. Yeah. I mean, listen.
Woo! Woo!
When you talk about what there is to play for in these games, right? You know?
Well, I think it's clear Atlanta's playing for Dan Quinn. I think that's clear.
Play for two. Jameis is playing for his job in the record books.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Jameis is playing for his job with a good taste in B.A. and Byron Leftwich's mouth. I mean, the man is coming off of a four-interception performance, okay? And will he come back? Will he get franchise tagged, right? What's behind door number?
How's that going to work? Yep.
But at the same time, Jameis can also, I think he can get as high as like fourth or third all-time single season. He can get up to like 300 yards. He's standing at like 49 something right now. 5,000 is a threshold, clearly.
Right.
But with a normal Jameis game, I mean, pencil him in for 350, Joe, and he'd be at 5,300 yards, which I believe is fourth all time. So they're going to both sling in it. Yeah, I can see this game going over the total.
Wow. That's all I can say is wow. Wow.
You know, we'll be down to try and get another 12 catches for his, you know, record books.
Right. This could be fun. A week 17 is going to, and bonuses and everything else that's at stake here for a lot of these guys. Yep.
Sure.
Now,
Ronald
are you,
Jones, who wants to make a stand? Yeah.
I'm still seeing a whole lot of AFC and NFC games going off at 1 o'clock, not one or the other here. Where are you seeing that all the AFC games are going off at 1 o'clock? Because NFL.com still has them staggered.
Okay, when they put the graphic up, I was watching Sunday Night Football, Michaels and Collinsworth were talking about it, and they showed what the games were. So I could be wrong, or they could be not done like moving it and flexing them still. You know what I mean? On the schedule.
Well, they flexed the 49ers and Seahawks at 8:20 already, but it appears that no, we're going to have a whole lot of interesting games at 1 o'clock with still. And I'll say this: it looks like whatever happens at 1 o'clock will determine. There are going to be some teams that have to win at 4 o'clock. So,
it won't. And the Eagles and Cowboys are both at 4. So that's what I'm saying. Like the end that is decided at 4 o'clock, but one. When you have
you're gonna have Vikings and Packers decided. Yeah, you're gonna have that all at 1 o'clock. The decision games looks like they'll all be bunched in either 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock.
Fair enough. And then the NFC West and that one is the cherry.
And then and that'll end up at the night game. So interesting stuff.
Green Bay tonight, Joe.
Give me the under. Divisional matchup, prime time. Give me the under. We'll break it down tomorrow. Big week 17. Get ready.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
NFL season is now upon us, and you can become the eighth person to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament by setting their lineups using the DailyRotor.com DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy sports and not using DailyRotor.com, you're doing it wrong. Sign up now for the NFL access with a faster optimizer, smarter DFS projections, and better results. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. DailyRotor.com, where millionaires are made.
All right, so I see how it's shaping up here. They've got, let's just say, the wild card spot in the AFC where you got Titans, Steelers, and Raiders.
Right.
All those games are at 4:25. The 1 o'clock games will solidify, let's say, Minnesota wins tonight. You'll have Minnesota and Green Bay next week at 1 o'clock. That decision will be made. So by the 4 o'clock games, those two, somebody is going to be the NFC North champion. The Chiefs and the Patriots also, depending if they're going to jockey for position,
right?
That will be decided at 1 o'clock. So the only real games And then, of course, it'll culminate at the end with the 49ers in Seattle. But all of those 4 o'clock games, that'll decide the AFC wild card. And the 1 o'clock games, yeah, we'll decide the, you know, the NFC matchups and the on whether or not Patriots finish lower than number 2. So it'll work out.
Dallas
and Philly's at 4 o'clock, too. Yeah. Yeah,
wow.
They're also down in there as well. So this is it's going to shape up to be a very interesting week 17. That's for sure, because the good part is the teams like even New Orleans, for instance, if they win at 1 o'clock, right, against the Panthers, they're going to be watching 820, you know, 820 watching that 49ers Seahawks game. Yep. So there's plenty to be decided about. And it's going to be fun to watch it unfold. But you mentioned tonight Green Bay and Minnesota. You're going to back? Were you going to take the points tonight with Green Bay?
Bay plus the 5.5. I know it's in no man's land, but last time it was a 5-point game. So we'll see. I'll take the points.
Well, it's, you know, it's, listen, if you like Rodgers, grab the 5-3 points. I mean, there might be a good shot that they actually win.
Right. So in maybe a lower scoring game, I'll take every point I can get. And if Minnesota does come out, I like the idea of the back door with Aaron Rodgers, too.
Yeah, I just listen, if it ain't broke, and let me just double check first half here.
Do it, brother. I know where you're going. Go right ahead.
Yeah, it's, you know, divisional matchups, end of the year, December, worked out really good yesterday there with Kansas City, Chicago, primetime under. And, of course, Dallas, Philly, too. That also played to the under also, so. Maybe these two squads
first half,
beat each other up to the points. 23 and a half. What are you seeing? 23?
Yeah, 23 and a half.
Ah, good. You know where I'm going.
10-10.
Get a damn under.
10-10 and up.
That's it. Give me the under and tease that.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up? It's Questlove. This week on Questlove Supreme, we're getting cozy with the legend, Mariah Carey, an intimate two-part episode.
Nobody knew who I was, and they introduced me, ladies and gentlemen, Columbia recording artist, Mariah Carey. They're like, but then at the end of it, the announcer, he's like, the palace now has a queen.
Listen to Questlove Supreme on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Suprema.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.